I grew up in the Mormon Church, born and raised, as they say. Even during the times of inactivity, I still considered myself to be a true believing Mormon. Times and people change, and when someone pushes you to reevaluate your beliefs, you sometimes realize how wrong you were. 2016 was the year I moved from Mormonville to Heathensburg. I'm Molly Ann Mormon. Welcome to Doubting Dogma, where I explore my new views and new friendships, moving on without religious belief. Welcome back to Doubting Dogma, coming to you from Heathensburg, Pennsylvania. I am Molly Ann Mormon, and joining me again from Minnesota is Riz McCool. Riz, welcome back.
I don't get it. You used to change the name every time, and then all of a sudden it's just Heathensburg. I am offended on behalf of Heathensville and all the other cities that you used to mention, but now you're being Berg-sclusive, and I find that offensive.
I'll change it next time.
There you go. Don't let me down.
I won't. And coming to us from
Knoxville.
Are you in Ute? Knoxville.
In Knoxville, yeah.
In Tennessee,
yeah.
Right? Tennessee. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Is
yeah, right?
our guest today, Emily. I don't know if you want us to use your last name or not. That's up to you.
I don't think it matters, but you can stick with Emily for now if that's fine.
Emily. All right. And I asked you on the show because you wrote to me and you said, hey, I'm an Eskimo too. And I was like, cool, let's talk. So.
Oh, is this going to be one of those episodes where I don't know what anybody's talking about again? Yay.
Probably.
They're my favorites.
It's another one where you get to say what the fuck a lot. So that's all.
Well, considering the one we just did, I probably will anyway. So.
I'm for it.
David, what the fuck?
Okay, so I'm trying to remember. Did you grow up in Utah?
I did, yes.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, I know. Okay. Well, and I have to admit, it did make me laugh when you were talking about how even other Mormons don't like Utah Mormons, because, I can see
why. They just have this air of, I'm better than the rest of you because I'm in the Mormon Holy Land.
Yeah. Kind of thing. I don't know. Yeah, I can see that. When I went to BYU, again, so embarrassing, but I remember my first roommate, She wrote me a letter before we met, and she was kind of scared. She left out a lot of information, biographical information in her letter because she was afraid I was going to judge her because her dad wasn't in the church and all of this stuff. And I didn't care, but I guess some people from Utah might have. But yeah, so I get where you're coming from with that. But don't judge me. I'm sorry.
I'm judging so hard.
Oh. Well, I probably deserve it. It's okay.
I mean, BYU, three letters? I mean, who goes to a school with three letters? That's just dumb.
Okay, you're being all elitist because yours has four because you have two N's. Okay.
That's not my school anymore, Molly.
Yeah, and anyway, I don't know how you want this to go. I mean, did you want me to give you some background information, or do you...
If you want to, because I know even amongst Mormon families, like, there are different extremes in Mormonism, you know, like, my family, we could never watch TV on Sunday. We couldn't have any caffeinated sodas, so if we had soda, it was like ginger ale or Sprite or Squirt or certain root beers, you know, but not Barks because that has caffeine, you know. And I know there are other families that, you know, they didn't care about caffeinated soda and they would still watch TV and they, you know, this kind of stuff. And like, I was in college before I saw a rated PG-13 movie, you know.
Oh, wow.
And so I know there are like different
levels of crazy.
Yeah, different levels of crazy even within the main freaking mothership of Mormon crazy. So, like, what scale were you at?
we were pretty crazy in some ways, like more crazy in some ways and not quite as crazy in others, because I mean, thanks to my grandmother's coke addiction, I don't think my parents cared all that much if we drank it. Drink caffeinated sodas, but we just kind of didn't do a lot of soda anyway. But yeah, there was definitely the try to avoid certain activities on Sundays, and definitely R-rated movies were usually out, and so things like that. So we didn't go to the PG-13 level, but there were, yeah, my parents were pretty in it to win it, let's say. My family was sort of, I mean, I hate to use the expression Mormon royalty, but it kind of was a little bit, because I think I mentioned in my email to you that my grandfather was a general authority who was BFFs with Boyd K. Packer, which is horrifying. But if you know anything about that guy, I'm sure you do. But anyway, and my mom was in the Mormon Tabernacle Choir for a little bit, and she was also a guest organist at the Tabernacle, which means that she would play for tourists that would come in, and so yeah, and of course we've got the Pioneer Heritage and all of that. So
yes, mm-hmm. Oh my goodness,
yeah. And on some level, I guess my grandpa was sort of the standard bearer. Like if he said something was okay or not okay, we would listen to him. And so, like, I just, as an example, I really hate Easter to this day, because while everyone else was opening up Easter baskets and getting a new dress and eating chocolate bunnies, he always said that it wasn't appropriate because you weren't thinking about Jesus enough. So usually that meant that we didn't get anything for Easter, and then we'd go over to my grandparents' house to watch a crucifixion video. So that was,
oh, that's horrifying.
Yeah, it really was. So
there's nothing like the death of your savior being reenacted to remind you of what a bitch you are, right?
Yeah, that was pretty much the theme.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how dare you, woman, get back in the kitchen, right?
Pretty much, yeah. How dare you want chicks and bunnies when you could be thinking about your sins?
So. Yeah, you know, everyone's favorite dinner topic.
Well, for my grandparents, sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, the most my family ever did for Easter was we would dye eggs. But, yeah. I mean, we didn't get Easter baskets. We never got new clothes or anything like that. So that was always an anomaly to me, because I would see the ads, you know, JCPenney, little Easter dress sale, and there's these girls in their cute little pastel frilly whatever gossamer, I don't know, fabrics. And but that wasn't something that we did. Of course, with five kids, you know, I mean, you can't afford to go to a real store when your mom is a stay-at-home parent and only your dad's working. You can't afford to go to a department store like that and get everybody brand new clothes. We were always at the thrift shop, so.
Yeah. I'm the oldest of six, so I get it.
Yeah. Good Mormon family there, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, Mormon Jesus will cry if you don't have at least four. I mean, that's...
Well, my little sister has four, and my older sister has seven, and I've got two dogs. So...
I think you're winning that particular...
I'm like, I want one. But, I mean, I was 35 when I got married, so, you know, already the black sheep right there. But...
Yeah, I remember hearing that, and marrying a heathen, no less. So
yes, had my wonderful pagan ceremony. It was beautiful.
But... And who was there to film it?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's how I met you.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask how you guys met. That sounds like an interesting story, too. But
yeah, she was my videographer. I was looking for one, and I emailed a couple of different photography companies that had videography listed under, like, their Yellow Pages listing and this kind of stuff. And one of them gave me a quote for, like, $2,000. And one of them was like, well, I actually don't do videography, but here's a couple of links to those that do, and RIS was one of those. And gave me a good price. And wasn't, like, trying to do fancy drone flyovers of the thing. I'm like, no, I just freaking want the ceremony. Yeah. I don't care about the rest of that crap. I want the ceremony.
Which it still would have been so much better if it had been outside and not inside Bucky Joe's, internal cave den or whatever you want to call that place. Like, killed the vibe, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. I think it was still okay, but, I mean, it just, yeah, it rained the night before, so we would have been standing in just mud puddles. But we'd been planning on having it outside, like, right next to the lake and everything. But I think it turned out good anyways. At least we had the room to have it inside. And we didn't have to scramble at the last minute for a different venue. But, yeah, so did you ever go on your mission? Or did you just go to school there at BYU?
No, I did the classic BYU thing. And I hate this expression, but I'll use it anyway. I got my MRS degree.
Okay, for the non-Mo here, can you elaborate on that?
I became a missus.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I get it.
It's super cheesy, like a lot of other stuff that goes on at BYU. So, but yeah, I met my husband. Oh, and that's the other thing. We also got married super fast. Like my husband says that we actually met at the start of the year, but I don't really remember it. But we started dating in November, and we were married in February. So,
oh wow.
Yeah, and he was 21 because he had gotten back from his mission, and I was 20. So, yeah, I didn't get to go on my mission because at that time it was still 21 was the cutoff for girls. So,
yeah.
Yeah, and then we proceeded to have 4 kids. So, yeah, we're doing our job there, making Mormon babies.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you bake cookies from scratch?
I do.
I heard cookies.
See? Ha-ha. I do.
Stop everything. I heard cookies. I will fake my way through that religion to get those cookies.
I do make really good cookies, but...
Yeah, see, and I have entered some in the local fair here, and they've won second place. And
oh wow, that's cool.
And I gave a whole passel of them to Riz and the crew when before they moved up to Minnesota, and so
they've been
I've always been known for, like, making cookies, because I don't know. That was one of the things. Like, I can't cook well to sustain life, but I can bake the hell out of some crap that'll make you fat and die early.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah. That's definitely a Mormon thing.
Yeah, see?
We'll have to exchange recipes. I've got a pumpkin chocolate chip cookie that'll knock your socks.
Oh, I am there. See, because my chocolate chip cookie recipe, it uses dark chocolate chips, craisins, walnuts, and there's orange in the dough.
Ooh.
And it sounds like a lot going on, but they all complement each other really well, and so they are freaking amazing.
Wow, now I'm drooling.
Welcome back to Cooking with Molly here on the Doubting Dogma podcast. Today we'll be baking a batch of cookies so we can see just how excited tired Riz can get when they arrive at the front door.
I think that's
fair. Oh, no. So is your husband still in the church?
No, he's not. I got super lucky, and I'm sorry. I guess I'm not telling this in any particular order, and I don't know if that matters. I don't know how you want this to go, but...
We're all random. It's good.
Yeah. We lived in... we got married in Utah. We lived briefly in California for an internship that he had, kind of, and then we moved to Texas, and we were there for 7.5 years the first time, I think. And then we took a year off so my husband could go to a year in Spain for his, another degree. And then we moved back to Texas for a year and then had the opportunity to move to Utah to be closer to our families. He's from Oregon, but, you know, that's obviously a lot closer to drive than from Texas. So we, and my family's still in Utah. So we took that opportunity. And then there was some drama with his job because of a bankruptcy that his company had. And then that's how we wound up in Knoxville. But something about going to Spain, especially for that year, just kind of kicked off some things that, I mean, I'd always kind of had my doubts and everything, but I, there was something about it, especially since I actually went to a Spanish class with a lot of Muslim ladies who were there, who had emigrated from various places. And it was kind of, I think it kind of helped me to see that they, I mean, it kind of got me out of my bubble a little bit and helped me to see that they believed in their religion just as strongly as I believed in mine. And so something kind of snapped when we got back to Texas, and for some reason I just really started struggling with doubts. And then when we moved to Knoxville, everything just kind of came to a head in 2011, and that's when I started listening to Mormon stories. That helped a lot, and really studying the actual history instead of just the church
version of it.
Exactly. And then kind of finally seeing a lot of the contradictions and problems with it. And then, of course, you get into things like I also read Todd Compton's In Sacred Loneliness. Are you familiar with that one?
No, I don't know that one.
Yeah, it's really good. He's still a member, but he's honest about how the origins of polygamy and how bad it sucked for a lot of people, and especially the women, of course. And so that one really really helped me, jog me a little bit. And then also Feminist Mormon Housewives helped, and just kind of getting on the internet and getting my hands dirty and finally looking into stuff. And finally, and my husband knew I'd been struggling, but I finally just, we were on a date. And so I told him that I didn't believe that Joseph Smith was a prophet anymore when we were eating cupcakes. And he took it like a champ. He was great. And he didn't yell or scream, or he wasn't worried, really. He just said okay. And I'm super lucky because he started looking into it and listening to what I had listened to and read, and he left in 2012.
Gosh, it's so nice to hear one of these stories that doesn't end with, so I lost my whole family.
In tears. Yeah, and I'm extra, extra lucky because my parents are out too. And so are, Yeah, because they were kind of going, partly because of my mom's conversations with me and my dad and a bunch of, you know, so they, and then some stuff that was going on in her personal life. And she had a few things happened that kind of got her to start looking into it too. And, they left too. And, a little after we did. So yeah, it's been great on that level, and which is good. We didn't get out completely scot free because, Joe, that's my husband, his family, we haven't seen them for 5 years and counting. And I don't think we'll see them anytime soon because his parents are really, really upset over our decision to leave. So that kind of sucks, but at least I've got my family and my parents and several of my siblings. So, and I'm lucky because my kids were young enough that they didn't have any problem with it. So in fact, they were thrilled. Like when I used to wake up my youngest is 10 now, but back when we left, he was still in primary. And so when we'd wake him up on Sunday, we'd say like, all right, Sam, wake up. And he'd say, wait, is it Sunday? And I'd say, yeah. And he'd say, oh, I hate church. And it just, because I'm an adult and I felt like going, I hate it too, you know, but I didn't feel like we had a choice. We always were there. So, I mean, we never skipped. So yeah. So they were only too happy to not have to go anymore. So anyway, that's more or less what happened, I guess.
Now, was there any one certain point of doctrine that just completely destroyed your faith or was just the complete breaking point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was definitely polygamy was a big part of it. There were some great articles on the Feminist Mormon Housewives website. And then even just getting to know, I remember one night, it was funny, I was on my iPhone and my husband was sleeping next to me and I was reading, did you ever go through the temple?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Well, you certainly didn't miss much, but I remember reading, they used to have, it's a long story, but I don't know how much you want me to. Well, and I don't even know. It's probably something that Bryce Blacknagle could answer
just
better. But
say your story.
Well, I mean, just as far as the history of the temple, but there's a lot of connections to Masonry. And so
yes.
I was reading an article that was pointing it out, and it was kind of pointing out the 5 points of fellowship and some of the hand signals and things that were used in Masonry and that are also used in the temple. And I was just reading through it, and at one point I was like, son of a bitch! You know, like, I was so mad. Just like, I can't believe he just cribbed all of this. I was so pissed off. Because you're told your whole life, oh, it's so beautiful, it's so sacred. I'm like, he was totally pulling this out of his ass. So, yeah. He wasn't even doing a good job of copying it. You know what I mean? It was like, come on, this is totally like a 8-year-old looking over someone else's shoulder and copying their papers. Fucking sucks. So I don't know. It was just, so that was another major breaking point. And yeah. And I don't know if there was a moment that I could point to that it just, and I read, oh shit, what's it called? Oh, can't think of it all of a sudden. No Man Knows My History. Have you heard that one?
No.
Yeah, that's another one. That one came out a long time ago, maybe 30 years ago. I could be wrong. I can't think of her name all of a sudden, but I read that one too. And then getting on to, if you've heard of the church apologetics websites like FAIR, which is the most inaptly named website I think I've ever, or acronym I think I've ever heard, but and I've heard other people say that too. They were saying like they went to that site expecting to find ways of shoring up their testimony, and instead all they could see was just how badly the apologists would try to explain their stupid excuses and all of that. So yeah, that helped a lot too, just going on and seeing that there was nothing really to rebut the things that I was learning, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And then I'm just wondering, because like for me it was harder to give up Joseph Smith because he is so deified,
yeah,
if you will, in the Mormon church.
Oh, sure.
Community.
Well, I think you,
like, it was harder to give up Joseph Smith than it was to give up the idea of God.
Yeah.
So, like, I was more agnostic and, like, fed up with the whole Christianity aspect, but I was still having issues with giving up the idea of Joseph Smith and everything like that as I was going through my journey. Now, did you have anything like that that was the most difficult thing to let go of?
I think giving up the concept of God was harder for me, because I get where you're coming from, and I think you might have mentioned this on another one of your episodes, is something like when you grow up singing Praise to the Man and things like that, it's definitely a part of the culture. But on the other hand, I'd also kind of, I don't know, he always, learning about things like from the South Park episode and other and other things, like about the whole face and the hat thing, and then just as, and then the polygamy thing, because I'd known growing up, I don't remember exactly when I learned it, but I knew he'd been a polygamist, and he always, just the way he treated Emma, I mean, there was a part of me that always thought he was a piece of shit, you know, and then I read Rough Stone Rolling, that's Richard Bushman's book, and he, again, he's still a member, and it was a very apologetic portrayal, but at the same time he did put in a few things that made me go, wow, this guy is a total dick, you know, like, I, so for me I guess it wasn't as difficult. And then I don't know. It just, once I started digging into it, the history, it just seemed like, holy shit, this guy is just a con man. This is ridiculous. And I don't know. And it's a process. But I guess if this helps, to me, as difficult as the process of losing my faith was, there was also a part of it that was a relief, because the best analogy I can think of is if you've ever had a computer that has had a serious virus and you're trying to get it to do normal things, like just call up your emails or whatever, and it can do it, but it's really slow, and it's churning and churning and churning away at this malevolent force that's getting in the way of what it needs to do. So when I finally lost my faith, I felt like it was like someone had come in and had fixed that computer virus. For the first time, my brain was able to go, oh, I don't have to make this make sense anymore. And that part was such a relief. So.
Yeah, I know there were a lot of things that I used to compartmentalize so much because I knew that this sciencey thing didn't mesh with
like evolution this
church thing, and that mm-hmm. yeah, exactly.
I remember you saying that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but yeah, as far as like church history goes, it was, you know, cognitive dissonance and scathing atheists that got me away from the Christianity and God stuff, but then I had to have but I had to have naked Mormonism to get me away from Joseph Smith and to see how much of a con he was.
Yeah,
because like I'd said before, I always thought that South Park was being the typical over exaggeration. I didn't realize that he was sticking his face in his stanky ass hat and freaking just mumbling words out, and that's what the Book of Mormon was. So, I mean, and I really needed that. I needed that in order to move past that.
Yeah, I totally get that. And I have to say, I have been enjoying the fuck out of listening to the Scathing Atheist crew struggle with reading the Book of Mormon.
I know, it's been awesome.
Oh, it's so great. It just, every time they complain about how boring it is, and I was thinking like, yeah, well, at least you didn't spend 33 years thinking it was, but it just makes me laugh. And then whenever they're struggling over the names, it's the best thing ever.
I find myself sitting there like correcting their pronunciations.
Oh, I do that too. And they're going Lamoni. I'm like, it's Lamoni. And then I think
Cory whore. I was Cory whore.
Yeah, but then I also think, you know what? It's all bullshit anyway. I don't care how they say it. It doesn't deserve the respect of me getting all uptight about it. But it does make me laugh. And when they're going, fuck this book. I'm like, right?
Oh yeah, I am just enjoying the hell out of some Mormon peace theater. It's
so great.
Cracking me up.
Well, and I wish they would do another when they announced that they were doing a whole month of Mormon movies on God Awful Movies, I screamed. I mean, I think I scared my cats. I couldn't help it. I was so excited. And then the ones that they were doing, like the Cipher in the Snow, I totally grew up watching that. And the
and Johnny Lingo. Oh my gosh, yeah. They used to play that all the time.
Oh yeah, I mean, seminary staple,
all
right?
The time.
Yeah,
and that was like a young women's staple too. Oh, yeah. You know, because they're always like, well, you know, you want to make sure that you're worthy, and you need to know that you are an eight cow wife.
Oh yeah. True confession. This is so bad, but the boyfriend that I had when I went into BYU, before he left on his mission, actually bought me a T-shirt that said "I'm an eight cow woman."
Oh my gosh!
It makes me cringe so hard right now just to think of that. It's so bad. Again, only at BYU, and there were so many dumb things like that. You're so lucky you didn't go. Like, one thing that people like to do there was shout obscenities out the window, by which I mean they would roll down the car window and yell obscenities. This is This is BYU humor. Okay,
Wow.
It's not a real college. I'm sorry. If you can't even get a caffeinated drink in the cafeteria or whatever, you know there's some serious bullshit levels of brainwashing. And
well, my sister, when she went there, she said they would not sell the vitamin water. It was the triple antioxidant one because the name of it was XXX.
What?
Yeah, the it's like blueberry acai or however it's pronounced, it's in pomegranate or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's like the triple antioxidant, but because it has the triple X on there, you know, that's like porn. So they couldn't sell it at their
Well, to be fair, we were utilizing those in order to, spread the trans. Like we put, you know, little dots of hormones in there, and then suddenly they wake up and they have tits, and it's like, oh no, we've got to stop it.
Dang it. I should have quit drinking that. Now I need a reduction. Sorry, I was moving on.
I should have started drinking it. Oh, well.
I'll trade you. I'll donate.
Ha. Deal.
Oh, no.
And then we'll exchange cookie recipes. This is all coming together.
Yes.
Heck yeah.
I get to spread the trans and I get cookies. That's called a double win.
Exactly.
We're going to have the great Mormon cookie swap going on here. It's going to be awesome.
I'll have to find him like someone looking for a back alley deal in the middle of the night. You got any chocolate chip? Yeah, I got chocolate chip, peanut butter, all the great stuff, but it's going to cost you.
I need to get me a trench coat with a bunch of pockets inside. I'll just open it up. It'll be Ziploc bags full of cookies.
I got your
snickerdoodles, your chocolate chip. Peanut butter blossom. Oh, I need a hobby.
Well, what do you think we're doing, Molly?
Yeah, I got to go into business.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, except in Pennsylvania, I can't have a bakery in the home since the dogs walk through the kitchen.
Oh, okay.
So
you need to get a separate lab or something?
Yeah, I'd have to, like, actually go and get a commercial kitchen or, I don't know, rent some little craptastic apartment just for the kitchen.
Or sell it on the black market, like you were saying, with the trench coat. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I know people. Anyways. Oh, my gosh. So, are any of your siblings out as well, or no?
Yeah, I'm the oldest of six, and out of the six of us, four are out and two are in. So, and I don't know, and I think at least for one of my siblings, I don't want to tell tales or anything, but I think that's in a large part because of the spouse of that person.
Okay.
Yeah, and I don't know, and the other sibling that's still in, I'm not entirely certain. I don't know. I know she has her doubts, and she's... But she's also a very loving person, so fortunately she hasn't been too upset with my parents. I mean, sometimes she'll get upset about things that my parents say, but she still has a good relationship with them and with the rest of her siblings that are out, so that's good. But, yeah. But it is nice. I mean, I finally went, it was hard for me to go back to Utah for a while because it's kind of triggering, as you can imagine, being surrounded by Mormons everywhere you look. But I did finally go back and see my family over the summer with my husband and my kids, and it was good. And it's nice to have siblings out so that I can have some wine with my sister and bitch about the church with my mom and my dad and all of that. So That's a nice thing.
Yeah, and you said your in-laws are still in, right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And does your husband have siblings?
Yes. He's the second of five kids.
Okay.
And his youngest sister is out, but she left as a teenager, so she didn't go through the temple and all of that. So I think... She doesn't really have the same rage against the church that a lot of the rest of us do because of that. She just kind of was like, meh, not for me. And she's great. I love her. But she's, I think she, because she didn't really leave for the same reasons, she's not as dangerous to, in her parents' perception, if that makes sense. But,
okay.
But we were totally drinking the Kool-Aid. So, and we know, I mean, there's the one time after we had both left that we did try to see his family, we flew out there to see them. And, even though we had said, please, we don't have to talk about the church. We don't want to talk about the church. It's fine. Just everyone get along. They did bring it up, and the conversation did not go well. And basically, it's, they know we're informed. They know we're too smart, and we know all of the counters. We know all of the answers to the apologetics. And I mean, there's nothing that they can say, and a lot that we could say that would make them look stupid. So frankly, I think they're kind of scared of us. And we, yeah, it, again, 5 years and counting, I don't see that changing anytime soon. Which is sad. I mean, I'm sorry that my kids don't get to have, any close family connection on that side. And, and my husband doesn't really have much contact with them either. He'll talk to them occasionally, but it's sort of like, we just don't really have anything in common with them anymore. And besides, they voted for Trump, so fuck them. But,
oh,
right? So yeah, they're dead to us anyway.
Yeah, I've been having an interesting conversation today about something like that. There's this, you know, being a public trans person, there are people who reach out to me all the time, and most of the time it's something I can handle pretty easily. But I'm in a conversation with this trans person who voted for and still supports Trump and doesn't understand why whenever they go to a community for information that they kind of get ostracized for that.
Yeah.
And I keep having to find the nicest way to say, do you think it's because you support the guy who is actively trying to take away every single one of our rights? Like, you think that might have something to do with it?
Well, that's the crazy. Actual...
Yeah, I know. There's... We've met a few people. Like, yeah, we actually dumped a friend over that same kind of thing. I mean, he had, at least he claimed that he was everything that you would think would make someone not want to support Trump. And then he was really big into him, and we just went, yeah, we're done. Sorry, I can't handle it. We can't be friends anymore. And it, I mean, if it had been a different political situation, I hope it wouldn't have mattered so much, but I just don't have any patience with it. Sorry, I didn't mean to turn it into a...
No, political that's what podcasting is.
Yeah, well, good. I'm good at random stuff. I don't know.
But what's the deal with airline food? Oh, wait, wrong medium.
No, what's the deal with funeral potatoes is what I want to know. Anyways.
Wait. That's a thing?
Yeah, it's a Mormon thing. Casseroles are kind of big in Mormon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you didn't mean like you actually had funerals for potatoes. Like, seriously, that's where my mind went.
Oh, no, awesome. No. Somebody
thought of it that.
Somebody kicks the bucket, and then everybody in the ward makes a casserole and takes it over to their house.
Yeah, and there's...
I like my idea better.
I do, too.
We're here to say goodbye to our Yukon Gold Potato Garden. It served well, but the squirrels got into it, and it was not meant to be. Well, therefore, we call to Joseph Smith to say why. Why would you deny us of delicious mashed potatoes? You are supposed to be our father, our savior, and the all-knowing, wise master of the universe. And yet here we are, no golden mashed potatoes.
Well, I just have to say,
had a good
was all right. No, sorry. That's a mystery. Oh, no. That's a mystery science.
I'm just going to point to the door for that one.
I know. I can't take
it. Spud Orida. He was from Idaho.
There you go.
Poor guy. Okay, and you said your mom was part of the Mormon tab and the organist and that kind of stuff. Did you guys have a lot of music in your family and everything? Because I know my mom played piano and my dad always sang in the choir at church and stuff. So we all grew up like singing and playing different instruments and this kind of stuff. And I always figured that was a pretty standard Mormon thing, but I don't know.
Yeah, it is. It does seem to be, doesn't it? Yeah, we were fairly musical. We all took piano until I think eventually all of us, when we got old enough, rage quit it or something. I don't know. I'm trying to remember if any of my siblings still play. I think a few of them do, but yeah, I grew up, I was in the Salt Lake Children's Choir and I still sing. I still like that, but I don't play any instruments anymore, but yeah, we all definitely grew up fairly musical, because I mean, how else are you gonna get people to sing in sacrament meeting? So
yeah, true, there's a lot of music going on. Yeah. That, and it always seems they're looking for a volunteer when the pianist doesn't show up and you need one in Sunday school or in Relief Society.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like there's always somebody that plays the piano, it seems like.
Oh, yeah.
No matter what ward you're in, there's always like oodles of people that can just step in and be like, oh, yeah, I can play this. Do, 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 you know?
Yeah, and so. You know, it's funny. I don't know about you, but I think there were a lot of things that I was encouraged to do just because it was church-related that now I don't want to do or I don't like to do, and it was always sold to me like the piano. I mean, if I'd been able to... I remember hearing Hugh Laurie talk about how much he loved jazz music and that's why he learned to play, and I thought, gosh, I wish I had... been given the option to do something because I wanted to do it and because there was music that I wanted to play, instead of just someday, if you get really good at this, you can be the ward pianist. It's like, why the fuck would I want to do that? You know, like, that's not what I left in my past for doing that. And no, and even things like journal writing, like, you were always supposed, did you ever keep a journal? Because I don't know. That's
yes.
Yeah. Cause again, another weird cultural thing. Cause you're supposed to be recording your testimony for your posterity. And you know, so now I every time I think about writing in a journal, I just think, nope, not going to do it.
Well, I mean, I still keep one. I'm not always the best at writing in it and stuff, but not because of churchy stuff.
Yeah.
Just cause I write all kinds of stuff anyways. I mean, I've got a couple of different blogs and I just, words bounce around in my head. So I'm always looking for a output to that. But yeah, I know like the genealogy stuff in the church was a big thing. And that's like part of why the journaling was so stressed, you know, so that your posterity can read your thoughts and everything. And it's like, well, yeah, I broke up with one of my boyfriends because he read my journal.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And he didn't think there was anything wrong with that.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad.
This is the same one that called me a whore because I wouldn't sleep with him. Not in those words exactly, wait. Yeah, it was.
That seems a little, okay. Because you won't sleep with him? He called you a whore?
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's what he said. Because I had already lost my virginity, and he found this out by reading my journal.
Oh, my God.
And he had, like, drifted away from the church when he was a teenager when his mom died. And then he came back to the church, and he was trying to, you know, be good and everything. And I had started talking to him, and... like, I was thinking, if anyone won't judge me because of my past, it'll be him. Because he's got his own... he did hard drugs, you know? Like, he has his own issues that he's got no freaking right to judge me.
Oh, right? Never underestimate the capacity of a Mormon dude.
Oh.
Don't let a Mormon
woman. Yeah. And then at one point, he had said something about... well, so... why was he good enough for you, but I'm not?
Oh.
Kind of thing. So basically, without using the word exactly, called me a whore because I wouldn't sleep with him. And that was during one of my on-again phases where I was trying to be the quote-unquote good Mormon girl and this kind of stuff. And yeah, so that's when I was like, oh, I'm done. Never dating a Mormon guy ever again.
Very, very good.
And I didn't. And so I married a heathen instead. It was good times.
I am far too much of a slut to abide by those rules. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And now I'm off bringing the show to a flying stop. Fantastic.
We're not going to.
Oh, my goodness.
Can I just say how great it is to be out? How I think I mentioned briefly how excited my kids were to be to not have to go to church and everything. But
yeah.
Yeah, it's just we've moved. I know. I mean, as difficult as the process was, we've moved so far beyond any respect for the church. Like, and I'm so happy for the kids that they don't have to deal with that bullshit anymore. Like, my oldest is 18, so I'm sure if we were still in, he'd probably be on a mission by now.
Yeah.
Instead, he gets to go to college, and my other kids. They're doing really well, and I'm happy that they don't have to have those same contradictions in their brains. And we took the kids to see the Book of Mormon musical too, and they loved it when it came here.
I'm so jealous.
It's great.
I so want to see that. I need to figure out when it's going to come somewhere slightly close to me, so I don't gotta go up to New York or something.
Yeah, if you have a chance to see it, I definitely recommend it.
Yes, I so want to.
Yeah. Anyway, and it's just nice to be honest, I kind of dreaded what my life was going to be, because I knew my husband's a very charismatic person, and he was kind of rising in the ranks of the church, and I'm sure he would have been bishop if we hadn't moved around a lot, but since we'd been settled here for so long, I just knew that sooner or later he was going to get one of those bullshit callings, and I wasn't going to see him very much, and that eventually he would probably get to be like what do you call him, a mission president or something, and
stake president.
Yeah, stake president, mission president, and or temple president. Oh God, the temple thing alone. I just the thought of having to be in that building all the time, listening to that bullshit movie over and over again, just made me want to die. So,
but now see, I almost wish that I had gone through just to see the level of crazy that's in there, but. I guess some dude YouTubed a bunch of stuff, so
yeah,
I can just
that's
look at it there.
Noah.
So.
He's great. I love that he's doing that. But if you want the shortened, what do you call it, Cliff Notes version, you can come to my house, because we actually give demonstrations where we put on the temple clothes and show people like what it looks like, and just to be so we can blow their minds, because...
That is awesome.
It's so funny. It's so great. Just, it's very validating, because it seems normal if you grew up with it, but then to see someone's expression when you come out wearing that shit and they're going, whoa, 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 what is that? And you have to be like, well, and then you have the discussion and explain it. And yeah, and I think one of our friends who I think watched the videos that are on YouTube when we encouraged her to, she said, yeah, I think I'm 90% bored and 10% offended. This is really, really strange. So it's been fun to do stuff like that for people, and just to see their reaction has been great.
Well, from my understanding, since women in the temple have to wear a veil over their face and they're not allowed to talk to God, their husband has to do the talking for them.
Yep.
It should be more like she's 90% offended and 10% bored. But I don't know, just my opinion on what I've heard, but...
Yeah, definitely, but at the same time, it is really super boring, so there's a lot of...
Oh, I can just imagine, because I remember as a kid never wanting to go to church. Well, maybe not never, but, you know, like, it wasn't a choice.
Oh, no.
And my sister's first boyfriend... who was not a member, had asked me once, well, why do you go to church? And I was like, well, because they make us go. And my sister was like, really? You don't want to? And so, like, I had the moments of, like, self-reflection where I was like, no, I guess I do. But then, I don't know, when I joined the Army and I started working shift work and it just wasn't convenient, I was just like, eh, not going.
Yeah, good for you. I know. I'd never liked it either, but I always felt obligated. And did your parents also make you go to state conference and all of that stuff too?
Oh, yeah. And even for general conference,
oh, yeah.
we would go to the Stake Center rather than watch it at home.
Oh, that's bad.
And, like, we usually wouldn't even go home between the
blocks.
Oh, no. Because, you know, they play those other little videos in between. And so, like, we might bring a lunch. And so we'd sit there and have lunch and stuff. But,
yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry. yeah, that's we did, like, general conference because at least then, since we lived in Utah, we could watch it on TV at home. So that wasn't as big of a deal. But I remember one of my friends saying, "Yay, it's state conference." And I was going, "Why would you say yay, it's state conference? It's so boring." She's like, "Oh, because we get to stay home on state conference." And I was going, "Oh, I wish my parents would let us stay home on state conference. Fucking hate state conference." Anyway, sorry.
I was going to say that the best thing about that was, wasn't it usually then just a 2-hour block instead of all three?
Yeah, although I always found having to stay inside that main space that especially if you were late, which my family always was, so we were on the hard seats in the back. I found that to be
probably
even more tedious in its own way. But I don't know. It was all, and I don't know. It's funny too because the other thing, I dreaded what my life was going to be. But I've talked to other Mormon women, or at least when I was still Mormon, I would talk to other women, and we even were not too sure about the afterlife. I don't know if you ever thought about that or thought about it that way, but we would say things like, "Gee, I hope my husband will let me be a part of the kids' lives or whatever, not like Heavenly Mother or whatever," or something like that, like all the bullshit that they would tell you, that like, "Oh, she just doesn't want to see what her kids are going through," whatever. And then we'd also say things like, "I hope my husband doesn't want to take other wives on," because we knew that polygamy was still a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, so honestly, like even my eternity, I figured would just be like going to church all the time, and I wasn't looking forward to that, so... I guess it's just sad that they could fuck with your head so much that you thought that you had an eternity of tedium, you know, if that makes any sense. Like, and that
it's all going to be genealogy and popping out spirit kids.
Exactly. And that the best you could imagine or hope for was going to be this unbelievably dreary kind of existence. And yeah, yeah, I don't miss that.
But I'd say we need to wrap it up because I believe we're boring poor Riz to death.
You're not boring me. I just have nothing valid to contribute to this conversation. And there's only so much I can go, "Wow, that's fucked up." Like, I feel like that just insert me saying that in earlier parts of the conversation and it'll be just exactly the same.
Do you want to just make a little
copy and paste?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Oh, no. But thank you, Emily, for joining us on the show today and talking a bit about your experience and just sharing the crazy with us. But
no, you're welcome. I hope I could add something. I know you've had a couple of other ex-Mormon guests, so it was fun. I appreciate it. Keep up the good work.
Thanks for joining
thank
us.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're welcome.
All right. And thank everybody for listening, and we'll talk to everybody next week.
Good night. We sure will. Good night.
I want to thank you for joining us. If you like what you hear, please consider supporting the show on Patreon at patreon.com/doubtingdogma or leave a review on iTunes. You can follow the show on Facebook at facebook.com/doubtingdogma or on Twitter at doubtingdogma. The intro music was written and performed by Marissa Alexa McCool and was used with her permission.